When I read this, as I said on the air, Ed, it stopped me cold in my tracks. Spores that begin in Africa spread around the world. That sounds an awful lot like what you said.
Well, what I said was that a plant pathogen, the spores of which a fungal pathogen would begin in Africa and then migrate.
Oh,
to South America. Yes, yes, it is.
And it's spores.
Well, we identified the problem in 97, and UG99 was identified in that year, 1999, in Uganda. But I can't overemphasize the danger of this particular mutant. We said that it would be a mutation of probably the claviceps species, a genus, actually.
That is what you said, and it is a mutation.
Well, it's a mutation of a sister blight, of a sister fungus. My best guess at the time was claviceps, but it's Puccinia. And the mutation is particularly virulent because this variant of this particular species of fungi produces five different spores.
Mm-hmm.
And now the way it contaminates other wheat is to actually physical contact. That's the way most blights contaminate other wheat. The spores are transmitted by animals or the wind or something else like that, or water in some cases. But one of the spores named the Uridineo spore, this particular spore is extremely adapted for being carried at high altitudes on the wind. And what surprised me about this particular spore was its absolute survivability in a UV environment, an ultraviolet environment. Usually ultraviolet light will denature spores. Let me give you a good example. Anthrax, as a former biological warfare defense case officer, I can tell you lots about bacterial and viral agents. And anthrax spores, after about 30 minutes in the sunlight,
destroyed, right?
Yes, they're destroyed. But the UG99, this particular spore, one of five, is not destroyed at all. Not only can it be carried for days and weeks at high altitudes, but it overwinters. It can survive a winter, and it is now turning up in the Caribbean. So it's been identified in the Caribbean now.
And That's awfully close.
Very close, and it will jump over, and then move up into Texas now. A couple of years ago, a blight has affected the soybean crops in the United States, and most of the fungicide that is produced is used to keep soybeans alive and marketable. There isn't enough fungicide for both soybean blight to maintain crops and a wheat blight, too. So something's got to give, and it will. What I mean by that is famines of biblical proportions in the lesser developed countries, starting with Africa.
Now, your response to the email, when I think it was forwarded to you by my producer, was just something you said, well, it's very dire ahead or something like that.
Well, we're not going to be able to contain this. At the first program I ever did with you about 11 years ago, I said, we talked about what's coming over the horizon and what professional remote viewers see, and that is that the people that do survive are going to have to avail themselves of environmentally controlled habitats. We simply cannot. We're not going to be able to grow crops like we have done in the past. They need to be in environmentally controlled habitats where they're protected, where bees will stay alive, and there will be no spores.
Mm-hmm.
And, Ed,
all those years ago when you forecast these very gloomy things, how could we know that here we are all these years later, and damned if it doesn't look just about as gloomy as you forecast it would be, or at least we're on the cusp of so many things that you forecast that are beginning to come true now?
Well, that's my job, to use these skills, and anybody that learns it, I mean, you can use the skills to win the lottery, but I think it would behoove you, one, to learn remote viewing and look over the horizon at what may affect your family in terms of survival and what one might do in terms of protecting them. What I'm saying to people in general is this has now come home to roost. If we do not start investing technology and R&D into biospheres and mature the technology now, we in the developed countries who have the wherewithal to build things to allow us to survive are still going to be a day late and a dollar short. We need to start really thinking about environment, climate controlled habitats for our food, which in the end, when things really go to hell in a handbasket environmentally, solar flares, et cetera, those habitats, those controlled agricultural domes will actually become habitats for us because we're going to have to migrate into them with our plants. That's how grim it will be.
There's another headline. We may be entering the largest solar cycle ever recorded. While the sun is not responsible for global warming, human emissions are behind that. Sunspots can make things worse just when we thought we might be getting a reprieve. In BBC News, Dr. David Whitehouse reports on a drilling of ice cores in Greenland that reveals that the sun is more active now than it has been any time in the last 1,000 years. While we can now view sunspots with satellite technology, humans have been looking at them through telescopes for almost 400 years. Between 1645 and 1715, sunspot activity was greatly reduced. This brought on what has come to be known as the Little Ice Age in Europe. And new scientist Stuart Clark reports the sun's brightness rises and falls around every 100,000 years, and this is exactly the same time period between ice ages on Earth. So we're in for a real rough ride from the sun, according to the scientists, between now and 2011 or 2012.
Many scientists are specialists. Many, many people in science are specialists. And what we lose there, what we gain is a tremendous amount of knowledge, but what we lose is the forest for the trees. There are very few generalists left that can see, that can put two and two together now because they're concentrated only on one tree. They can't see the forest anymore. What remote viewing does is it leans on the collective unconscious to look at the forest. And what the forest is saying, what it was saying 10 years ago, and I, as one of the spokesmen for that global mind, was saying on your show, is that 10 years ago we were on the cusp of a logarithmic curve that was about to go almost straight up, like an F-15 taking off. Mm-hmm. And now we are moving straight up. There's no more time to mess around. Things are gonna degrade very, very fast. I mean, you and Whitley envision this in terms of the weather in your book, the coming global superstorm. What I'm saying is disease is going to ravage us, and then the sun is going to deliver the coup de grace. That's it.